I'm speaking today with Richard Sedita, who is a candidate for Houston City Council in District G. Richard, first question I like to ask people is, why are you running for this office?
Well, as a long-term Houstonian, lifelong Houstonian, raised overnight, born and raised in the East End, and I have a passion for this city. I've developed this with my dad. My dad loved Houston. He could tell you any kind of detail about Houston that you wanted to know. As I've become more successful in my career, I've talked about for years wanting to do something to give back to the city. And in recent years, I've gotten more serious about it. I've been a little bit involved with some of the campaigns in the last few years, and this year it seemed like the time was ripe. Pam Holmes, who's the current council person, is term limited, so the C50. Discussed it with my son, who has experience running campaigns, and decided this is the year to do it. I want to get back to the city of Houston, because I think Houston has the potential to be a world-class city, and I want to be a part of that.
Now, you're a veteran of the Army.
A veteran of the Army.
Tell me a little bit about your service time and how you think that might help you be a council member.
Well, when I was drafted, I was sent, first of all, I did my basic training. I was sent to Fort Sam Houston and trained as an Army medic. Fully expected, this was during the Vietnam War. My expectations were to go to Vietnam. However, I ended up in DMZ in South Korea as a combat medic. Now, we probably know from a little bit more now than we did then about the DMZ in South Korea, but there was, during the 60s, there was quite a bit of shooting going on back and forth across the line, so it wasn't a quiet year that I spent over there. I got quite a bit of experience working with wounded soldiers in the field, in the battlefield, essentially, and that led me to believe that I was very good at making critical decisions. Obviously, when you're in charge, when you're responsible for the lives of infantrymen, combat soldiers, that's no small task for a 20-year-old to take on. Like I said, I did the job and I did it well, to the point that when I came back from Korea and got out of the Army, I decided to go to nursing school.
And you work as a registered nurse today?
I worked as a registered nurse the last 36 years. My early career I spent working in the critical care units at various hospitals, St. Joseph's, several different times. And I at one time was also an ER director. And in more recent years, in the last 15 years, I've done case management, which is what I'm doing now in a long-term acute care hospital.
How, if at all, I guess I don't really know, how, if at all, does city government intersect with, with the kind of work you do, with health care, with hospitals, and what, if anything, could be done by city council to improve that?
Well, in my job, for all of these years, I've been in a position having to make critical decisions in life or death situations. And in my job as a case manager, I deal with people who have serious problems. They're not easy problems. If anybody that's listening to this has had a family member that's had a serious illness, a stroke, usually grandma, grandfather, our parents, stroke or heart attack or broken hip, or any number of different injuries. My own mother suffered from Alzheimer's disease, and I see a large number of people that come in with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia, and those problems, while they're fairly common for people that work in the healthcare field, for those people coming in new situations, they have no clue how to deal with them. I work with people with serious problems, and I help them. I try to help them solve the problems. In a lot of cases, the problems are not necessarily solvable as far as curing. But what they end up with is they have a new normal for their lifestyle. And so part of my job is to help them accept the new normal and then help them to deal with it and get in the resources available to deal with it, to move on with their lives. I guess right now healthcare is big in the it's a big issue in the national politics and national news. I deal with that with the bureaucracies of insurance companies every day, and getting people who are ill, sick, that need resources available through the insurance companies. I have to deal with those to identify the needs and to identify the resources that they need and work with the insurance companies and with Medicare to get those resources to the patient's doorstep.
Are there any city resources that you use in this?
There are some that we use. Generally speaking, the city is not involved in most.
More county, isn't it?
It's more county is with the hospital district. We do get involved with the city when we're dealing with people who may have a communicable disease, things such as tuberculosis, things that can be easily transmitted to the public. We deal with the Houston Health Department, and mostly that is just contacting them, making sure they're aware of the condition, and making sure they're aware that when the patient goes home, so that they can follow up with that patient.
Okay. City Council has recently passed its budget for the fiscal year. As you know, we're in kind of tough economic times, and the budget had a number of cuts across the board. Can you give me your opinion of the budget that Council passed and how you think they should approach next year's budget on the assumption that we will continue to have less revenue than we're used to having?
Well, I haven't seen all of the details of the budget. I do know that the budgets are being cut, that the resources are going to be slim in the coming years, coming year, hopefully not years. And not being an accountant, I guess, in that respect, repeat the question.
Basically, give me your opinion of the city's budget and how you think the city council should deal with the budget next year, on the assumption that the economy is roughly in the same place, or at least that the revenue is roughly in the same place.
I hate to see the budget for the city size of Houston that has to be cut. I know we have to work within a budget. The light appears now. The city the size of Houston, and we're continually growing. Our needs are getting bigger. They're not getting smaller. And obviously cutting the budget is going to mean that we're going to be having a more difficult time getting services out to the public, to the citizens of Houston. I understand that it has to be done, and I still feel that we need to look at whatever opportunities we can to shore up our financial base and be able to continue to provide the services that we need. I mean, the city is there's so many needs for the city. Our streets really need a lot of work. Our flood control needs work. We need we can't just drop those situations, and we can't we've got to keep our law enforcement, our public safety in the forefront also, which is our public safety fire and police department is about half of our $3 billion budget right now. And that's not a place where we can really look at cutting. And I also know that the city employees are looking to, you know, I believe they're looking for raises in the near future too. I know that's going to be a tough one for whoever the new mayor is next year, dealing with that issue.
Well, let's talk a little about flooding. You live out here kind of on the west. This is a kind of flood-prone area of town.
Mm-hmm.
What's your assessment of the steps the city has taken in recent years to deal with issues of flooding, and what do you see as being, you know, the priority going forward?
We've had two major storms this decade alone. We've had, in 2001, we had the medical center flooded out. That cost us billions of dollars in recovery cost. Then again, last year, a considerable amount of flooding in the city of Houston. Last Thursday, I had to drive from where I work now to the medical center for a meeting in the afternoon. Well, we've had about 3 months of very little rain or no rain, and we had a 30-minute rainstorm, and the streets were flooded. And, you know, that can't be acceptable. I know it's not acceptable to the public because cars were already getting caught in high water. I had to drive through high water to get where I was going. Plus, it took me a long time. I got to the meeting I was going to a little bit late. We tend to start putting resources into that issue, into flooding, after we've had a storm. And I know projecting when the next storm coming along is not going to be an easy task, or the next big storm. But we need to start getting some kind of forecast from the proper engineers and all, is what it's going to take to, if we were to have another storm like the one in 2001, what would it take to keep us from having that severe problem? And I know that was what they call the 1,000-year storm, and so probably completely avoiding would not be, you know, may not be a doable thing, at least not in the near future. But I think anytime we have new development that comes up, we've got to make sure that we partner with the developers in getting proper drainage, proper flooding to service those projects.
I mean, crime is always an issue in city elections. And as you noted, the budget for public safety, police, fire, is a big part of our expenditures. How can city council, first of all, ensure that we have enough resources available to fund the level of public safety we would like, and what can city council do to help HPD do its job more effectively?
First of all, and I know this is an ongoing problem, is we need more officers on the street. We need more police officers on the street. I know even if we had the money to fund more academy classes, we probably don't currently have the recruits to fill those positions. That's a problem. I think probably some type of I see ad campaigns all the time for cities around the country advertising for police officers with incentives for moving to wherever. I think Houston should get into that to start recruiting from around the country. Maybe we are recruiting around the country. Obviously, if I live in Houston, I'm not seeing what type of advertisements going on in Atlanta or New York. Also, as equipment needs to be replaced, automobiles and whatever, I think we should look at the possibility of investing in the most advanced technology to give police officers the tools to do the job properly while they're on the street. I know that they've got a very high quality systems, computer systems in their automobiles and their police cars, but I also know that they're not the state of the art anymore. As the police cars are retired and new ones are brought in, I think we need to look at the bringing in I think, the top of the line. A city the size of Houston can't afford to have a, you know, can't have a police force that, you know, that's 20 years behind. It's like having, you know, I have a lot of admiration for our police department, first of all. I mean, you know, primarily. My best friend from college is a police officer here in Houston, and I want to see his job easier. I want to see him safer on the streets. Same with the fire department. I think that we need the best technology for them. And I know that costs money. I mean, I know there would have to be budget cuts.
Metro, as you know, recently broke ground on two more light rail lines. They've got a third one already under construction and two more in the works. You know, if you were elected, you would be eligible to serve under current term limits laws through 2015. The work that Metro has going on is scheduled to be done in 2012, maybe 2013. So looking forward, you know, looking 6 years down the line, where do you want to see Metro go after they're done with the task they have at hand now? What do you want to see them do going forward? And you can answer that as broadly as you want.
Well, if Houston's going to be the world-class city I think it should be, then we're going to have rail. We're going to have to be able to get, you know, not just rail, but primarily I think we need rail to go to all sections of the city. I would love to be able to go to a football game or a baseball game without having to drive my car into downtown and pay to park. And I would pay probably the same price to ride the rail if it were available. I grew up in Houston. I went to school on the southwest side of town. I went to Marion High School, which was where the Episcopal High School is now. And I rode the bus from the east end over to there. Now, by the standards today of where I would live in relationship to downtown, that's not as far. It's not very far, but it took about an hour one way. So in the morning I had to get up long early enough to get there, to be there on time. I had to get up at least an hour earlier. And getting home, of course, I got home late in the afternoons because it took that long a ride to get home. That is on buses. I think rail has the possibility of making those trips much shorter, much more comfortable. I know that they're using surface roads. I think we're way behind on rail. The city, people in the city have fought putting rail in for years. I know when Mayor Whitmire was the mayor, she tried to get a program started, and she got shouted down, you know, pretty good. And it may not have been what people thought they wanted, but it would have been the start of the system. You know, we should have started a rail system 40 years ago to have anything that would be sufficient to serve the population of Houston today.
As you noted, the current council member for District G, Pam Holm, is term limited out. Give me your assessment of her time in office and how you would be like her or not like her as the council member for District G.
I think she's done a good job while she's been in office. There are probably some things I would have done differently. I know last year when the police department was trying to bring, you know, update their helicopter force, I think she was one that was against it. And I have a nephew also who's a police officer, and he's a helicopter pilot. You know, I certainly wouldn't want to see him in inferior equipment. And like I said earlier, I think we need to have top of the line, you know, state of the art equipment. Those types of things are important. I can't necessarily address everything that she's voted on, but I think basically, and I've discussed with some of, you know, people in the district over here, she's done a good job representing the people in District G.
One of the things that will happen in the next couple of years, in 2011, will be the city of Houston will be required to redraw its district council lines and add two more districts to the mix. How would you like to see that process go, and, you know, how do you want it to affect District G?
That's a process that I'm, you know, I am aware that we probably, we're going to be adding the new districts. I would hope it goes, you know, whenever, when it gets down to drawing the new lines and everything, that, you know, I'm not sure, and I'm presuming that unless the city grows area-wise, they're going to be making the districts smaller, at least in geographical size. They may not necessarily be much smaller in population size, but probably wouldn't hurt to maybe narrow the District G at least a bit. District G goes from west of Highway 6 all the way into Shepherd. Probably would be, you know, better if it were not a lot smaller, but maybe a little smaller. I'm sure that that's going to be part of the plan distance-wise, but it's a big responsibility that to try to serve people from, you know, in that length, in that distance, and you've got all different class levels that live in there, from apartment complexes to neighborhoods such as Ashford Forest, where we are now, to River Oaks. As far as the process is concerned, I'm sure there's going to, most likely there's going to be an advisory board that will put suggestions out, and then the council will consider and vote. I'm sure each council person will vote on a plan that probably makes their district, you know, a better place to govern.
As you know, we're also going to be electing a new mayor this fall. Give me your assessment of Mayor White's term in office and how you would like to see the next mayor be like him or not like him.
I like Mayor White because Mayor White is a progressive person. He looks to the future. He's intelligent. He wants to see the city be a better place, and he wants to get things done to make it a better place. If I get elected to the council, whoever the next mayor is, I would hope, as a person that would follow suit and try to bring the city, you know, and the city of Houston, as I said, is the next world class city. I mean, it should be up there. It should be mentioned. When people talk about Paris, New York, Los Angeles, and even places like Atlanta, they say the name. When I watch the national news, they say Houston, Texas, like people wouldn't know where we are. Houston should be that type of city. It shouldn't be having to tell people it's in Texas. There's no city the size of Houston anywhere else.
When people go to vote in this election in November and they come to the District G race, why should they vote for you and not one of your opponents?
They should vote for me because I am a tireless worker. I deal with difficult problems on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I deal with bureaucracies such as Medicare and insurance companies, and I am able to get things done.
Okay. Richard Sedita, thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.